but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Cam, you were once an underrated prospect with no FBS offers out of high school. Now, you're the number one pick in this year's NFL draft. What stands out most from your journey to this point?
I just thank God, man, the hard work that I put myself through and just the unbelievable work ethic that I have. I just always have faith. You know, he's prospering me. You know, in this moment, my parents, you know, they really pushed me to, you know, get to where I am.
I can hear that emotion in your voice. Where's that coming from?
I would say the little kid in me who wanted it.
Cam Ward picked number one overall by the Tennessee Titans. He was introduced to media in Nashville, and because of that, we're going there. Julian Minnenson, you know him and love him from KEZI in Eugene, and then later working in Spokane. He's now working for WKRN, the ABC affiliate in Nashville, and he's joining us now live via satellite. Julian, what's going on?
John, great to hear you. Great to be on with you again.
I just love that we got you to Nashville for this moment, you know, and Cam Ward getting picked, and we've got a guy on the scene. So I appreciate when a plan works out. But give us an idea. Like, when you see a Washington State guy, former Washington State guy and Miami player that you're familiar with picked by the local team, how did that strike you?
Man, it reminds you how really small this business is and sports is. And it's kind of like, it reminds you how sports is the greatest version of reality TV that we have. I mean, you couldn't even script it. I mean, just the stars that had to align just for not just Cam to be a zero-star recruit, to go to the small school and work his butt off, to get to the big school, to ultimately get to the team that's picking first, to even somebody like you mentioned, like myself, who's covered him, watched him for 2 years at Washington State, went to Miami where you and I both know Mario over there and played for him for a year, to get to the place where we're both at now. It was funny. I talked with Cam. We had a one-on-one interview with him today as part of the media rounds, and Cam saw me and, talked to him for those 2 years at Washington State, and the first thing he says, hey, it's good to see you again. And so that just reminds you how small the world of sports is and how connected we all are when it comes to it.
What changes did you see in Cam Ward? Because you saw him like a couple of years ago. I've interviewed him a few times. Now he's spent a year at Miami. Is there a boost in maturity? Is he the same kid? What'd you see?
Yeah, you know, I actually caught up with former Washington State head coach and now Wake Forest coach Jake Dickert last week. And Jake was saying, you know, when he went out after the 2023 season and got those first evaluations, he couldn't believe some of the evaluations he was getting back and projections anywhere from like the third, fourth, and fifth round. He had the NFL mentality and potential back then. I think he was just able to do it on a bigger stage. You know, that's no disrespect to Washington State, but they're not getting the same TV time and TV slot like a Miami is getting. And so he was able to show it for a wider audience and maybe show it for a lot more scouts who could see him in prime time and watch his stuff and become a household name. And I think he's always been the zero-star recruit. He even had that in him today. When talking to the Titans media, somebody that has a chip on their shoulder, somebody that's not going to take this moment for granted. And just to put in perspective the kind of work that he put in over these last few years, the Titans decided they were picking him 3 weeks ago. They watched the film, and basically going to the combine was just confirmation to make sure that this guy's got a good head on his shoulders, and he did. And if that wasn't even more of a confirmation of the work he's put in, Houston Oilers legend Warren Moon surprised him today by giving him permission to wear that retired number one Titans jersey. So there's a lot of belief in the kid. And he has belief in himself, and that's something that's never wavered from the beginning of his time at Incarnate Word.
The reaction from Titans fans, how's it been?
Oh, it's all positive. It's been positive. And, you know, I think there were some reservations throughout the draft process. There were some that, you know, hey, we have the number one pick. We need to pick a generational player, and that would lend itself to thinking maybe a Travis Hunter or an Abdul Carter. But you cannot put a price tag, no matter what offers you get for a trading back or what have you. You cannot put a price tag on finding that franchise quarterback. And I think Titans fans, though they may not believed it at first, that over this process, similar to the Titans front office, while he isn't a Caleb Williams or a Joe Burrow guy where you say, hey, yeah, that's without a doubt the number one pick in the draft, they found that out over this process. And I think Titans fans found that out too. And I think they're ready to get going. And the plan, at least from what Ward tells me, is that he wants to start week one in the end of the NFL season.
Julian Minnison with us from the ABC affiliate there in Nashville. Warren Moon, you know, you were there when he kind of was around Cam Ward. He walks in. He's got the number one jersey. How did that scene kind of go over?
Everyone was surprised. I mean, the surprises of all surprises. I know Cam talked to Warren Moon about potentially wearing that number one, or at least asking him if he could wear it about a month ago. And over these last few weeks, Warren was kind of deciding what he wanted to do, and didn't really decide until about a day and a half ago that said, hey, yeah, this guy, you know what, this guy is, if there's going to be anybody that takes this number, it's him. And part of the reasoning for that is Warren came to a realization that, hey, you know, though the number one is retired in this organization, I wore it for the Oilers, not the Titans. This guy is going to start a new breath of fresh air for Tennessee, one that they desperately need because, as we saw, they have the number one pick because they were not so great last year. And I think it was just one of those kind of passing of the torch moments that the only people who knew Warren Moon was there was the Titans front office, not Cam, not the media, not any of the other names in attendance. It was a pretty cool moment for sure.
The franchise there has had some swings and misses with QBs, and you know, I mean, I think Marcus Mariota had a rough go of it there because of the turn and the churn with coordinators and head coaches, and you know, it didn't work out in the end for him. How badly do the Titans need this one to work?
Oh, it's got to hit. You have to. Partially, at least in the short term, you know, they received a lot of offers for this number one pick, and they turned them down just for Cam. But also, you think of Marcus, who didn't necessarily pan out here. You think of guys like Jake Locker, Will Levis, as recent as a few years ago, coming here and being seen as the quarterback of the future, and it not panning out. That needs to change here in Tennessee because they're getting a new stadium in a few years. They're rebuilding the team with a new GM and a fairly new head coach. And so there's going to have to be some sort of excitement as you head into that next chapter of this franchise. And the hope is that Ward is the cornerstone piece. And they were, you know, they picked him with conviction. They thought, you know, before seeing anybody else and meeting anybody else, he was the guy from the start. That should tell you that there's a lot of belief in Cam Ward that he could turn this franchise around.
Julian Minnison, ABC affiliate, right there in Nashville. Look, the Titans have been active as well, making some trades. What are they up to, and what's your sense on what the GM and the organization's trying to do in this draft moving forward?
Yeah, you know, they did have the 35th pick here in the second round, but they decided to trade down to 52nd and 82nd. You know, there's a large list of needs, a laundry list, if you will, especially when you don't win as many games like the Titans did last year. You know, they are going to be very detail oriented in this draft. Their idea going forward, at least at the start of this draft, was to not just pick the best available player just for the, or to not pass on the best available player just for the sake of getting a need, but it depends on the value. And so they have a huge need at pass rush. They have a huge need at wide receiver, and maybe that's where they go to in the later rounds of the draft, because I know they had top 30 visits with guys like Kyle Williams and Dante Thornton and other receivers that have great value later in the round. Guys that maybe you could pair up with Cam Ward to grow here for next season in Nashville. So there are a lot of needs, but they do have a lot of picks, and according to their GM, Mike Borgonzi, picks are the ultimate form of currency here in the NFL, so we'll see where they go from here.
Does the Shedeur Sanders saga, the ongoing he-has-not-yet-been-picked saga, does that move the needle for people there in Nashville? Did Cam, did you talk with him at all about Shedeur not being drafted in the first round? Any of that come up?
Yeah, and Cam Ward was asked about that today, and he couldn't believe that Shedeur wasn't picked. It was a surprise to him, partially because we've seen the videos on social media of Ward and Sanders having that friendly competition, as I would put it. They worked a lot together, through the summers and different camps and stuff like that, and they've been able to develop a relationship. And Ward said that, you know, whatever team picks him, they're going to get a good quarterback. So that's certainly been interesting. And also from a standpoint of, there was a group, you know, of Titans fans and a number of them who, you know, maybe we're clamoring for a Shedeur Sanders or trading back from the first pick to maybe get a Sanders at quarterback and maybe get multiple picks. We'll see where Sanders lands. It's certainly been interesting to watch, and that's probably been the talking point of the NFL draft.
The expectations for next season. Cam Ward, Titans fans, how are they feeling, and what's realistic as far as wins and losses for the Titans next year?
I asked Cam Ward that exact question, and he thought the Titans could have been an 8-10 win football team, depending on, you know, the quarterback position last year and just taking the points that were there in front of them. He thinks he's the missing piece. I asked him what the expectations are, and while he wants to win a Super Bowl and become a first rookie to win a Super Bowl, he just says, you know, win as many games as possible. And I think that's all you can ask for. I don't think Titans fans are looking for a deep playoff run of any sort, especially with a rookie QB. As long as there is a step in the right direction and there's competent competition on the field and Ward is starting to develop and grow under head coach Brian Callahan, then I think that's really all you can ask for when it comes to what the realistic expectations are for Tennessee.
Now, so you understand the Eugene market. You've been there. You've worked there. You were a couple of years in Spokane. You lived there and worked there. How is Nashville different, or maybe the same or different than those places that you worked before?
Yeah, as we've talked about before, John, as you know, I'm from Southern California, and so there's the big city element where there's major pro sports. It, of course, is a difference. There is a beauty in Spokane and a beauty in Eugene of being a very college-centric market. And we do get that a little bit here with Vanderbilt, but not to the extent of, you know, Washington State or Oregon State fans. So it's definitely Titans and then kind of everything else. However, I will say my first weekend here in Music City was the weekend where Vanderbilt beat Alabama. And so I was like, hey, let's go out on Broadway and kind of check it out. I was telling my girlfriend at the to go out to Broadway with me at that time. And we were about to go out to Broadway, and we saw the goalposts that Vanderbilt fans tore down and were taking down to throw into the Cumberland River. And so we're like, oh, yep, this place is nuts. So it's one of those things where you hear about the sports fandom, in the South. You especially being on the West Coast, you hear about how crazy it could be, but actually seeing it is certainly nuts, especially just that case in point example, just kind of from a Vanderbilt game, you know.
Well, you're looking forward, I'm sure, to getting to L.A. We'll get you there when we need you there. So when there's a breaking story where we need you on the scene, we'll have you there. But yeah, for people who don't know, Julian, like, you know, Eugene was what? Market number what?
About 118, 117, something
all right.
Like that.
Spokane is market?
About 65.
Okay.
56, something like and Nashville's about 25.
See, this is how it works. So now we're looking for top 10, top 15 markets. That's your next stop. Year and a half, 2 years from now.
That would be awesome, John. And whenever you need a USC or UCLA connection, there you have it right there.
Yeah. Next stop, KABC in LA. All right, Julian Minnesone, appreciate you, man. Stay safe out there, and I'll catch you down the road.
Good to talk to you, John. Thanks.
All right, there he goes, moving along. Love this. He's talented, and I love when talented people get rewarded. He is now in Nashville at the ABC affiliate there, on the scene for Cam Ward. He's right on top of this story. We are as well. What is the reason why Shedeur Sanders hasn't been picked? 503-417-7575 is the number. I'm going to jump into some phone calls, then we'll go to break. John has been holding for a while. He's in Skamania. John, welcome, man. Hey, what's your theory?
Hey, thanks, John. Hey, before I give you that theory, I just wanted to say, great story. Speaking of that interview with Julian with Cam on the cams that you did on the Pac-12 football media day back in 2023 with Cam Rising and Cam.
Yeah.
I love that, man. And the update on Cam Rising, I was a big Cam Rising fan. I kind of wondered what had happened to him. So that was a great story. For those that didn't read it and subscribe to you, they should go back and read that. Cause that was
I appreciate
awesome
that.
Story.
Appreciate that. Yeah. By the way, he showed up. So, he showed up the other night. Cam Rising showed up the other night at one of the MLS games in Salt Lake, match in Salt Lake. So, you know, he's not playing football, still got a year of eligibility. John, I suspect Rising, I'm just throwing this out there, and I probably shouldn't, but I suspect there may be some litigation coming. I wonder if Utah handled his injuries correctly. I kind of wonder if he got a misdiagnosis or something. So it's been very, very quiet on that front. But go ahead.
Interesting. So, yeah, but on to Shedeur, you know, number one, I love college football, right? So I'm a Beavs fan. I go to all the Beavs, but I go to the Ducks games. I see a lot of college football. For example, Terrence Ferguson, great pick by the Rams, right? I think I said 2 years ago that kid's going to be a stud in the NFL. So, but on to this NFL draft class, I saw Cam Ward play. I went to the Beavs game at Washington State in 2023, and then I saw the Apple Cup game in 2023. I was really impressed with Cam Ward. Did I ever in a million years think he was the number one pick? No, did not. This NFL quarterback draft class is not strong. It's not great. It's not great. So here's the thing I think on Shedeur. I believe that most NFL teams have him rated because, number one, he's not big. He's not overly athletic. Okay? He's not a dual threat quarterback. So because he's not dual threat, because he's not big, I mean, I think he's 6'1", is he? And maybe not even 6'1". So anyhow, I think they're looking at him like, look, okay, he could be an NFL starting quarterback if he really comes in, works hard. But he's looked at more as like borderline NFL starter, maybe backup. So then you couple with all the stuff that comes with drafting Shedeur. And you're talking about his older brother, who's basically his videographer, who's recording every second of this kid's life. When he was at Colorado, he's going to come with the picture. Obviously, he's got Deion. So I just think they're looking at it and they're saying, all of that doesn't outweigh, you know, his talent doesn't outweigh everything you've got to deal with outside of drafting Shedeur. And I just don't think, so I don't think it's anything more than that. And then I think, you know, you look at teams that you got to have a quarterback, need to take a quarterback. And I just don't think that, you know, so he's ended up falling. I'm thinking he's going to go third round, and I wouldn't be surprised. Check to see if I'm right on this. I say the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though they got one, I think the Steelers are going to draft him in the third round.
Sure. All right. We'll keep an eye on it. One more thing, John, in Skamania. Bruce Barnum, the Portland State football coach, was listening to the show here and shot me a text. He said, tell this guy to come to a Portland State game on me. You up to go see a Portland State game?
I'd love to go see a Portland State game.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna pass your number along to Portland State. Bruce Barnum wants to take you to the game.
Okay, I'm a Bruce Barnum fan. I've heard him on your show. I've watched stuff of his. So yeah, I'd love to go. I'm a football junkie. Love it, and love to come. I watched actually when I first moved out here. Watched the game over there, but yeah.
All right, you're gonna be a PSU fan before you know it, John and Skamania. Weighing in. And how about Bruce Barnum listening to the show and being like, hey, you know what? Get this guy to one of my games. It's on me. I love that. Bringing community together. That's what we do here. All right. What's on tap this weekend? It's coming up.